This is the Disaster Recovery Hour. Here's your host, Chris Plunkett.
Hey, good afternoon. Disaster Recovery Hour. I'm your host, Chris Plunkett. Every Tuesday between 1 and 2 o'clock here at WVNJ, 1160 AM, The Voice. I was going to talk about some other things instead of Irene, our Irish hurricane that came to town, but she's still hanging around, and I'm still very busy from that. Like I said, like the little PSA, public service announcement, the information is still out there that I want to give you guys. I know it's getting a little boring. I know I'm repeating myself, but you know, every single day there's something else about the flood. There's something else about FEMA and paperwork and where to go to get this paperwork and where to go to sign up. You know, even people with insurance, they're entitled to go check it out. You know, go online. I mean, on my website, there's numerous numbers and addresses and phone numbers and things like that that you can call up and check it out. Again, I know this is the sixth week in a row that I'm talking about it, but there's still a lot of people affected. There's people who are not in their homes anymore, and there's a lot of people who are going to be moving out of the area, or at least away from some of those tributaries or those rivers that overflow on a continual basis more often than not. I'm very familiar with them. Most of these people that I'm seeing lately are returning, unfortunately, returning clients of mine, which is a real drag for them. Because, like I said, you want to meet me professionally. You want to meet me personally. You don't want to meet me professionally. So with that, the record out on the island, there's media out there that Andy from the ACP always gives me about. They're still running stories about the flood and people being out of their homes and looking for guidance. Listen, you know, FEMA is very much into helping out the local citizens. A lot of people don't have flood insurance, and even if you did have flood insurance, there's the cap with the sump pump failure of $10,000 or $5,000. And flood only pays certain things. It doesn't pay personal property. So people are getting confused on, you know, what's covered, what's not. And these adjusters and the guys from FEMA who are hired contractors to come up here and help us out, which is great because we needed the manpower, women power, manpower, however you want to classify it. But it's, people still, again, it goes back to that, the repetitiveness of looking at your insurance policies, or even if you live in a multi-dwelling unit, like a high rise, like down in Hudson County area, Hoboken, for example, where that got crushed. People are not understanding the parameters and the protocols inside their leases and their bylaws. You just because, you know, Mother Nature came in and she blasted your building, you know, it's not the building management's fault or their liability to take care of some of your things like personal property. That's up to you. That's why you have homeowners insurance or renters insurance. You know, condos and co-ops, there's different verbiage inside those policies. So you're doing yourself a disservice when you see that the mail come in and it says, you know, renewal of your policy. You should really check it out, whether it's an insurance company-owned policy like State Farm and some of those monster insurance companies, which I've worked with, and I'm not saying monster in a derogatory manner, but you really need to look through the fine print, and it's really not that difficult, because when it comes to these storms, it's it goes back to being prepared. You'll be better off, let's put it that way. You know, the $2,000 couch that you bought and you're living in the third floor in the middle of a building and you got wet and you have no idea why, at least your insurance is going to take care of that. So with that, this Irene thing is still hanging around, and unfortunately, and we moved off to the actual flooding and the drying of the buildings, and now we moved into people who didn't know what to do, and now you got this mold situation. Now, you know, mold's been around 2,000 years. We all know it. We eat it with cheese and thing crackers and watching the Giant games lose to Seattle, but we won't talk about that. It's people, you just can't ignore it. It's going to fester. It's going to grow, and it gets very, very expensive. And what Bruce Wolf from Garden State Environmental was saying 2 weeks ago was there's a lot of things you can do to help yourself get along this thing, and help yourself out. And it's real simple. The stuff you can buy at the Home Depot or your local Ace Hardware store or whatever, that you can mitigate the further damage. But doing nothing and waiting for someone to come help you, those days, in my eyes, they don't exist anymore. You know, FEMA's there to assist you. They're not there to just come in there and, you know, make you a new home and buy you all nice flat screen televisions. It's, you know, that world is not does not exist. So kind of leapfrogs me into, you know, this is National Preparedness Month with Fire Prevention Week. I like to consider the September the entire month, because we do have National Preparedness Month. It comes because of 9/11. I know National Fire Prevention Week, I think it spurred on by the Great Chicago Fire, whatever year that was. My guest who's in the studio today, he'll tell me what day that was, or what the day was in Chicago. So some of those things, and you need to go to my website, drhradio.net, and there's a lot of the VOID, the Volunteer Organization of After Disasters. There's the Bergen County, there's the Passaic County, there's Hudson County, there's Nassau, there's Suffolk. You know, don't forget, I got Westchester listeners, I got the island, I get, you know, there's tons of listeners out there, especially because ACP has been doing their due diligence of getting me out there with DRH Radio. I have now become officially affiliated with the ACP, the show, and them. They are now consultants for business continuity, and that's great, because last week Mike Thompson, who was the past chairman and treasurer of the ACP, we talked about businesses, because, you know, that's the tax burden. I mean, the tax basis of our now friend of mine said a tax building, I think it was, right? Was it a tax building that we described? Taxpayer building, I think. But taxpayer, that's what it was. That's inside information that you will soon find out. It's relative, because it pays for the first responders, it pays for equipment, and we need to keep people up and running. And people, you know what? This is America. We go to work every day, we pay our bills, we pay our taxes. That's what we do here. It's a couple minutes after, 9 minutes after the hour. Let's go to a break, and we'll bring back our first guest. Thanks.
If you missed part of today's program, or you want to hear the show again, you can do so with the Disaster Recovery Hour podcast. Just go to www.drhradio.net, enter your email address, and the show will be delivered to your inbox. Keep you and your family safe by getting information on being prepared with the Disaster Recovery Hour podcast, available at drhradio.net. When disaster comes into your life and attacks your property, you need action fast. ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP will find the visible and hidden damage caused by a fire or flood. With quick response and correctly applied damage mitigation protocols, ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP can save you valuable time and money and get you back in the game of life. Anytime disaster strikes, quick, focused action is what can save your property. CPP's professional staff is on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. To reach ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP anytime, visit them on the web at www.cppems.com. That's cppems.com, cppems.com. ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP, servicing the New York metro and tri-state area.
Do you know that there are some emergency shelters that have no emergency backup generators? You can be prepared and have your own emergency generator for your home and business. Hi, I'm Dan O'Brien from Academy Electrical Contractors Incorporated, a full-service electrical contractor servicing the tri-state area since 1981. Our specialty is generators. We give you a complete turnkey installation, service your existing generator, rent you the temporary machine for that planned shutdown or that unexpected power failure. Academy Electrical Contractors can install a generator to protect your family and business from a power grid failure. Power your heating and air conditioning system, keep your refrigerator and freezer running, power your well pump, or power your sump pump. Visit us on the web at academyelectrical.com. That's academyelectrical.com. Or give me a call at 877-SPARKIES. That's 877-772-7597. Academy Electrical Contractors, generating satisfaction 24/7 since 1981.
In the early hours after the tsunami, it was ham radio that was on the air, saving lives. When Florida was ripped by hurricanes, the hams were there. In the critical moments after the attack of 9/11, it was the hams who coordinated emergency messages. When disasters strike, the hams are ready. Ham radio works when other communications don't. To learn how you can become a ham radio operator, call the ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio, at 1-800-326-3942.
And we're back. Welcome back. Disaster Recovery Hour every Tuesday between 1 and 2 p.m. here at WVNJ 1160 AM, The Voice. One of the things I didn't mention, there was our local paper picks up articles and it ships it. I mean, it's a mass media place, gives information to numerous papers throughout our region. I know people aren't too fond of the U.S., the Small Business Administration, but they've lowered some of the rates. But there's also, you should inquire, I know I'm going to my guest in a few minutes, but I forgot to mention that. Again, it's I'm going to pound you with this because I wouldn't be saying it if I'm not seeing this on a daily basis. When I get back to my office, I know I'm going to have calls about, what do I do in this situation, blah, 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 because they're all sitting around. And flood doesn't cover that much for a person. It doesn't cover any personal property, like I said in the first segment. So take a look at it. There's numerous branches going to be open up. There's one in Hackensack that's going to be at the Bergen Community College on 355 Main Street. I'm waiting for the addresses from the Long Island because I know they open up some branches out there in Westchester. New York is a different type of entity. New York is run by New York itself. The federal government doesn't delve too deep into the city. It's its own monolith, if you will. So there's money out there. Chris Green, who as a past guest, he works for a private contractor that works for the government, and he's given me some information regarding on the SBA and released numbers and dollars amount. So you might want to, you can Google it. You can NJ or NY or Connecticut or wherever you're listening up and down the coast, Florida. I know we got people in Florida listening up to people up in the New England states. So you can check that out. Whatever the state initials are, .gov, you can, and it will come right up there because Irene stretched from top to bottom on the East Coast. So with that said, we're going to move on to our next segment. Today's guest is a CEO and inventor, Miles Maiden, of a product called SteriPen, and it's a product put out by Hydro Photon. Photon, right? Are you there, Miles? Are you there?
Hi there.
How
yes,
you
hi. Hi. How you doing?
I'm good. How did we pronounce that last time? I said it wrong before.
Photon, Hydro Photon.
It is Photon. Yep. It is. Okay. A little bit of that French twang to it. Miles, social media has been very good for the show and for myself. It's enlightened me on many things, which my past guests have come through the social media. And I met one of your employees, Pam. We were doing some Twittering and so on and so forth, and I found this because I still find it kind of archaic that the water companies say go ahead and boil water. What happens if you have no gas? You're not going to be boiling any water. You're not going to be, people don't have cords of wood in their backyard. But let's move in because we have a very quick segment. Why don't we tell people what SteriPen is?
Well, SteriPen is a small, portable, ultraviolet water purifier intended to be something that you carry in a pocket or, in your pack or whatever. But very lightweight, small and portable, and it uses ultraviolet light to purify water. And so it's actually using the same principles that have been used for many, many years in large treatment plants and treatment systems around the world, but done in a very small and portable sort of size.
Now, the UV lighting, it destroys bacteria, viruses, protozoas, and you have no chemicals involved. So it's a very applicable. The application is pretty simple for Joe Blow to use.
Yeah, it's really just dip the device into your container of water, and it delivers the dose automatically. And as long as you're filling your container with the volume of water that's indicated in the instructions, then you would have a full complete UV dose and have very, very effective treatment just as you would in a large UV water treatment system.
Now, what type of person would be, is it just regular, like backpack, we can travel with that? Is it a particular client base you're looking at, or is it overall? Because I find it, I think everybody should probably really own some form of water purification system.
Yeah, well, we started when this company began with sales primarily in the outdoor industry, so or outdoor world, I should say, the camping and hiking sort of crowd, the people that are out getting water out of streams and lakes and ponds and that kind of thing. And they know, just as a rule, that they can't really reliably just scoop water up from anywhere and drink it safely. So that's where we started. And, you know, selling to basically most of the players in that industry, REI and L.L. Bean and Cabela's and, well, Dick's and you name it, we're now represented quite well in that area. And then we started moving out into disaster preparedness. Also travel, and we do sell to the military now as well, but fairly good disaster preparedness market as well. You know, as you were referring to earlier, instances where a hurricane or an earthquake or something like that might take out the power or remove your ability to get propane, and so UV light as a way to disinfect the water in an emergency or disaster is kind of a nice, quick, and very effective way to do it.
Yeah, it could be part of your emergency kit, which everybody, all governors, all state officials were always saying, you know, make a plan, get a kit, and you know. And by the way, Bill does have the website up on our website, so it's a quick link to check out the different products. And by the way, it's not a paid advertisement. This is something that I was interested in finding out more information. I think it's, again, like I said, it's applicable to the Disaster Recovery Hour, and more it pertains to being prepared. You know, and we do have an old, you know, here in the Northeast area, you know, everything pretty much is old. You got the roads are old, the plumbing system is old, you know, or, you know, New York is doing some great things with the tunnels, with their aqua, you know, with different types of the leapfrogging of the water from different facilities up in the States, and they bring it down to New York City and voted number one water for 15,000 years in a row and whatever. But, you know, we still have issues when those mains go out. And
well, that's a good point. You know, in fact, it's something that I don't think too many people are aware of in this country, but that our water infrastructure, that is the water mains you just mentioned and all of the sort of pipes that are underground in most of this country, are aging and old, and really more and more frequently these days breaking. And if you just go online, you'll see how many in the course of your average day. There are many, many breaks in water mains which result in contamination of the water, which then result in boil orders. So it's actually something, because of the aging system that we have, as you were just referring to, it's going to be more and more frequent that this kind of problem is run into. And so boil alerts are on the rise and more likely to get more common than less.
Do you, when people inquire about the product, and again, this is not an info commercial. It's more about the preparedness end of this business of water purifications. There's lots of products out there, but you know, in our day and age, you know, we were always stuffing. It used to be 5 pounds in a 3 pound bag. Now it's 10 pounds in a 3 pound bag. So this
right.
is something that's, you know, under a minute you can do what I think it's 16 ounces of purifying water. I mean, on the go, that's, you know. I know when I played high school sports and some other, my brother-in-law and people, you know, sharing water bottles used to get mono. You know, that's wild. But you know, everybody's got their individual water bottle now. But you know, the kids are, they can be little knuckleheads. They don't know what water bottle they're grabbing. But to have the purification, you know, it could also be used along those. Sports.
Well, that's right. I guess that's true. In fact, oftentimes, particularly if you're traveling, one of the cartoons I saw some time ago showed a picture of someone drinking a bottle of water in a foreign location, and the caption was, "The only thing you know about bottled water is that it's in a bottle. And, you know, the fact is that bottled water is a very unregulated industry. Even in this country, it's quite unregulated. And overseas in many parts of the world, the bottle may have been filled in the back alley and then capped. So, you know, it's not automatically the case that a bottle of water, whether it's bottled by a company or, you know, whatever, is necessarily going to be a safe bottle of water. So the products like ours are, you know, a great way to just have that peace of mind and the, you know, have that sort of feeling of assurance that you're drinking water that's not going to make you wish you hadn't.
Yeah, well, also, you know, you have the bottled water that sits in the plastic, and people have it out on the, you know, the gas stations. And I'm not knocking the guys; they want to, you know, they're selling products. But I think the sun beats on the plastic, and it gets into the water, and you can actually taste it after a while. I don't know, but you know,
well, and in fact, it raises the issue too of just, I mean, if one is environmentally sort of aware and wants to reduce the waste that one puts into the environment, you know, I mean, tap water is typically just fine in this country, and particularly if, you know, if you treat it, if there's a concern about contaminants, but it's typically just fine, and you can save an awful lot of plastic in the landfills by
right.
using and then treating tap water instead of buying the bottles.
So you're being ecologically sound, your footprint is a little less minimized,
yeah.
if you will, right?
Yeah.
Got a comment from Lori. It says, from time to time, our area is told to boil water for one reason or another, which is what we're talking about, but I feel this would be more beneficial. This is something I have to get. Well, Lori, you know what? You can go on the drhradio.net, drhradio.net. That's our website, and there is a link to Miles' website, and check out the different products, you know, so hopefully you'll see the benefit in it, and rock and roll with
yeah.
it. So
yeah.
you know, sometimes
yeah.
I can be a little twisted with my words, but I, you know, we're doing the one segment, but regarding you know, how is the grabbing the water and running? Because again, when I was talking about 10 pounds and 3 pounds with our society, we're always on the go, and we don't really pay attention to some of the things that we need to pay attention. And being Fire Prevention Week, along as well as being National Preparedness Month with the September, I know we're in October, but you know, September 11th is always on the forefront of some of us. You know, but people forget to do the simple things, you know, like batteries in a smoke detector. So with this, you can actually you're on the fly. You can do this. You can filter under a minute, and you can roll.
Yeah, well, we have a number of different models, and I don't want this to sound like an infomercial either, but just since you're asking about batteries, they're all battery. Well, actually, they're not all battery powered. We have one crank powered device, which probably would be really suitable for disasters, and because if you run out of batteries, well, you know, you don't need them for a crank powered thing. All you need is just the ability to turn the crank. But the other products we have are battery powered and give you up to 100 liters on a set of batteries. So, you know, on if you're getting 100 liters and you're drinking say 4 liters a day, then that's 25 days of water. And so, you know, you could imagine that you could make water safe for a good sized group of people for a few days, and then just put in another batch of batteries or recharge the batteries and put them in once they're recharged, that kind of thing. So most of these devices that we sell are battery powered, but they'll give you quite a bit of water before you need to change or recharge the batteries.
Yeah, well, you know, generally in our region, we're talking, you're up in Maine and you guys got slammed pretty good too with Irene. Your average is probably 3 to 5 days without power. I was without power. I did have a backup generator. If I didn't, I shouldn't be hosting a radio show about preparedness. you know, that would make enough water because you know, listen, disaster preparedness is like is the theme of the day the last 10 years, and it should be. You know, lots of parts of the world are always in conflict, and citizens are always at risk. So you know, us Americans should do a little more due diligence. And I know we are. I'm not knocking anybody for it. You know, that's not what the show is about. It's more of a helpful program. But you can get sidetracked real easy, and then you know I have no water. Well, this is a solution for a couple of days if you have no clean water. So looking into this as a backup plan and being disaster preparedness and disaster responsible, if you will, for your family. You know, we need X amount of ounces a day. You know, they say optimistically you should drink 8 ounces and then, you know, I think 32 ounces a day. I don't know the actual numbers, but they're always saying drink a lot of water. But you can survive for a couple of days. You know, we're in the counties we live in. It's not as if, we're out with Bear Grylls out in, survival land. So it's, right. you can make it happen. But I also want to talk about the technology, and I don't think we have enough time today. Give me an overview of the inception of it.
I was involved in solar energy R&D work, research and development work.
Oh, you got the $500 million. Okay, yeah, go on. Yeah.
What's that?
You got the $500 million, that solar panel?
Yeah, company? Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we spent that and, looking for some more now. and it was sort of out of that work using, working with light. And, of course, the sun puts out ultraviolet light as well, although the ultraviolet range that the sun... well, that at least gets to our planet from the sun is not the germicidal part that we make in a light bulb in our Steripen products. That part is filtered out by the atmosphere. But in any event, I started, this interest in UV from being involved in solar energy research and development work, and so it's out of that that the concepts and for this product came.
Quick question before we end the segment. Lori has a follow-up. It says, what is the pH value in the water after being treated with the SteriPen?
Yeah, good question. The pH value really is going to be about what it was when you started. There's really not a change in the way that there might be if you were adding some sort of alkaline or acidic material. So, this is just light. It is really just attacking the DNA within the microorganisms, and it's really not changing the water per se.
So you'd have +7 would be alkaline, and the acidity would be -7. That scaled 1 to 14,
well,
right? Something like that.
Yeah, it'd be whatever the water was when you started. Mm-hmm. So if you had alkaline water, or if you had acidic water, then it would be, in line with whatever that pH measurement was when you started it. It wouldn't really affect the pH. The UV is really attacking components of DNA within microbes, and it's not really really reorganizing the water molecules.
Yeah. Miles, I appreciate you taking some time during the day. I know it's lunchtime. Miles Maiden is the CEO and inventor of SteriPen, which is brought out by Hydrophoton. Up there in Maine. The link is on our website. Next month, or it might be the month after, we're going to be talking about putting together kits, and I'd like you to be part of that conversation, talking about your products and the numerous products. Again, it won't be paid advertising. It's not an infomercial. It's just about getting people the word out there that there are products out there, especially water, because it's the main driving force that we're on the planet. Again, I'm not a biologist or a chemist or whatever, but that's what they tell me.
Yeah.
Miles, I appreciate you taking time, we'll talk to you in a little while, and tell Pam I'll reach out for it through the email.
Hey, Chris, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Look forward to talking to you again.
Take care of yourself.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks. Dave, I guess we'll crank up some commercials and go to a break and be right back with the next guest.
Disaster comes into your life and attacks your property, you need answers. ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP is the answer. ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP is a full-service emergency services and restoration company. With 25 years of experience in emergency management and restoration, our seasoned team of skilled professionals is ready to assess damages and restore your property to its pre-loss condition. Who do I call first? What about insurance? Is it safe to stay here? What do I do next?
Fire, smoke, water, or mold, Service Master Restoration by CPP restores your property and your peace of mind. To reach Service Master Restoration by CPP anytime, visit them on the web at www.cppems.com. That's cppems.com, cppems.com. Service Master Restoration by CPP, servicing the New York Metro and Tri-State area.
The money is all dried up, and the work is all gone. Don't want to go to the mailbox, don't want to answer the phone. Did I mention my baby left me?
Attorney Michael Guidreau is the cure for your bankruptcy blues. With a bankruptcy success rate of nearly 100%, Michael Guidreau is an expert in bankruptcy, credit card settlement, and loan modification. For a consultation, call 201-837-7777. 201-837-7777. Call today and get rid of your bankruptcy blues.
Hi, this is Kate Valentine of the Kate Valentine UFO Show. Thank you for joining us on our journey for answers. We are traveling to you on the radio waves, the internet, and by podcasts.
Kate Valentine's UFO Show. Watching strange visitors that come and go.
The UFO Show with Kate Valentine, Friday afternoons at 1 on WVNJ.
Thank you to our sponsors who have supported the show and our journey for answers.
I know it's tough to hear me with this firefighter's air pack on, but it's the only way I can be in this smoldering pile of ashes that was my office. And I could get in trouble, but I hope you won't make the same mistake I did, since at least 1 in 4 businesses that suffer this type of loss never reopen. So here goes. Just 3 days ago, we sat in this melted wreck of what used to be a conference room, talking about how good things were. Over there was the tech room. The fire's bad enough, but the water damage really gets me. Look, here's an article describing us as visionaries. I should have done our disaster plan, but with everything else, I just didn't see this coming. Visionaries, huh? Well, the good news is, at least the ashes can't burn down.
There'll always be a few fires to put out around the office, unless it's not around anymore. But when you have a disaster plan, you can adapt, recover, and stay in control. Go to Ready.gov and make your company's plan. Ready.gov. It's never too late to protect your business until it is. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Ad Council.
And we're back. Welcome back. I don't know what kind of tag I should use for that, but we'll just say welcome. It's pretty generic and simple and easy. WVNJ, 1160 AM, The Voice. And yes, I will slow down a little bit. I took a break. I got to slow down. Some of the overriding consensus is that I talk too fast and I roll too much. So, with that said, my next guest is in the studio today. It's Lieutenant Stephen Lidner. Right, and that's yes. From the Hackensack Fire Department. He is the PIO, which is the Public Information Officer. This is our last week of, this is the week of Fire Prevention Week. My wife is a school teacher, so she was doing some of the things with their local department, their volunteer fire department. Hackensack, for the people up in Westchester and Long Island, is the county seat of Bergen County, is the county seat for Bergen County, and the department is a professional fire department, over 100 men on staff, and it's got the city is encompassed with your regular single family dwellings and your high rises, your factories, your hospitals. So it's pretty much a classic to teach all types of firemen different scenarios of fires and fire safety and things like that. Stephen, like we were talking before, I got to slow down a little bit because I got so many things in my head. How you doing today, by the way?
I'm doing well, Chris. Right. Thanks for having me.
Like I said, Steve is the public information officer, and it comes on the heels. Now, was I right about it, the first segment I said about the Chicago fire? Is that how Fire Prevention Week was incepted?
start of it. I mean, obviously, that was a very, you know, large, very tragic fire. And the fire service throughout the United States takes advantage of this week being Fire Prevention Week to just to speak to students, to adults, that we want to be aware of making our home and our business safe from fire. That the Hackensack Fire Department that we try to get out is change the batteries in your smoke detectors. Also make sure that you have carbon monoxide detectors also in place in your home. It's very important. If you don't have a working smoke detector, it's probably the most dangerous situation you can put yourself in terms of having yourself or your family hurt in a fire. So if you change your batteries, we try to advise everyone that change your batteries when you change your clocks. So we're coming up that at the end of October, and also installing the carbon monoxide detectors. As it's starting to get the, you know, winter season is upon us, everybody's cranking up their furnaces and stuff like that, and that does create carbon monoxide. Most of the time it's vented out the way it's supposed to go, but, you know, if you could have some sort of vent that's been, you know, through the, you know, the summer months, it got blocked with a tree branch or damaged somehow, maybe during Hurricane Irene, you know, you may not be venting that carbon monoxide out from your furnace correctly. So we called in the fire service a silent death. You become very lethargic when you're exposed to carbon monoxide levels, and you become sleepy, and the next thing you know, it can turn fatal. So if you have a working carbon monoxide detector on all levels of your home, that's the best advice that we can give you from, you know, avoiding that. We in the Hackensack Fire Department, we consider the three most dangerous causes for fires is careless cooking, which is, you know, everybody's now multitasking.
Right.
They're putting something on the stove and going into another room and doing laundry or helping the kids with homework and stuff like that. You know, if they're not watching what's going on and making sure the kitchen is safe, by the way, also, Chris, is, you know, making sure that there's no dish towels or paper towels or any of the, you know, any spray cans close by. We want to make sure that the kitchen area is a safe area to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
Also, proper use of microwaves. You know, I know I have two teenagers at home. I advise them, if you use a microwave, you stay right there while you're doing it. You know, some people think that they press 7 minutes when they press 70 minutes, and they go back to watching their favorite program, and the next thing you know, you have a little fire there. So kitchen fires is a very, very common fire in fire service. Also, the misuse of candles, lighters, cigarettes is probably, you know, the second of the top three issues that we worry about. People tend to use candles a lot, more in the winter seasons,
mm-hmm.
than during the summer. Everybody's inside more, so I think that's probably what it's. And then the third top three is electrical issues, where you may have an overloaded electrical cord with everybody having their electronic devices these days. You know, those things are not infallible, that they should be checked. Make sure that there's no wires frayed. Also, if you do any kind of electrical work, make sure it's a licensed electrician that you have doing your work. Okay, and these are the three things that, you know, you should do just to make sure that your home is safe, that you're attending to this right away. You know, that you're not going outside of the kitchen when you start cooking. You know, you're keeping an eye on it, making sure that the kitchen is safe area. All right, and please with the candles, cats are very known to knock candles over. So if you're in the other room and you have a pet and it happens to knock over, or even a small child knocks a candle over, a fire doubles in size about every minute, so it doesn't take long for a small fire to become very large.
Yeah, we were, before the show, you and I were talking about the multitasking. And listen, I come in after you guys leave, and PD secures the scene, and you know, then the insurance gets involved or the management company gets involved, and then, you know, I get involved. And you were talking about pretty much 99.9% of these fires. Listen, floods are going to happen, or she said water damage is going to happen. Old pipes, you can't see through the wall. We're not Supermen. We get that. But we were talking about before, about 99.9% of the most fires can be prevented. And I get busy. I know I was asking this question before the show about, is there a season for you guys? Because for us, it's when the winter months start, when it starts to get colder. You know, people start to cook more. They're in the house more. They're more apt to do damage to their own property. But you were talking about, well, it's really not seasonal for us. But you know, the top three for these causes, like you said, the 99% preventable.
Yes. Unfortunately, we're the ones that's starting these fires. So if we just take care of ourselves, being shown some proper safety around, you know, these things, around the kitchen, around with candles use and making sure all your electrical appliances are not overloaded, electrical cords. You know, this is gonna save a lot of people's lives. Nationally, there's about 5,000 people that get killed in the United States annually, and about 25,000 people get hurt. So, you know, if that's one of your family members or someone that you know or love or care about,
right.
You know, it's tragic, and it's even more tragic if it was a preventable fire or if they didn't have a working smoke detector or a carbon monoxide detector.
Which talks about, well, what I'm going to say is this past weekend, you know, you had three of your guys from your house get injured, and there was no detectors.
Yes, the Hackensack has a mutual aid agreement with some of our surrounding communities, and we were over in Teaneck, and you know, unfortunately, three of our firefighters got hurt at a fire that probably would have been a much smaller fire had they had working smoke detectors. So, as I go to repeat what I was saying, is every minute a fire doubles in size. So the Hackensack Fire Department is on the scene from the 911 call to we having a fire truck on the scene. It's about 3 to 4 minutes response time. So, you know, if you have a working smoke detector, chances are we're going to be able to put that fire out when it's a smaller fire, minimize the damage. I know you, you know, in your business, you get to see the after effects of this, and it's tragic. And if any of your listeners have been involved in a fire or know someone is, you know, all your personal effects are hurt and that's, you know, damaged. And sometimes, you know, people get hurt and killed, that you know, and it's very sad.
what I didn't know, and I thought I knew a fair amount of things of my business and prevention, because I advocate the open houses. You know, people in town should go. Like, I bring my son down, and him and his buddies climb on the trucks, and they you know, get on Mr. Savino's motorcycle and touch the, you know, touch the squad cars and stuff like that. Because kids, you know, they're a sponge. You know, they can absorb all this stuff. Adults get kind of wrapped up. You'll be looking at something, but you're really thinking about something else. So it kind of gets past you. But a kid and I, when I saw in the paper, which was really kind of cool, is the smokehouse you guys have. And teaching kids, you know, 9 and even 2 years old, it says in here. I mean, that's, you know, when I was a kid and when you were a kid, you grew up, you wanted to be, you know, like professional athlete, or you wanted to be a cop or fireman. That's pretty much, you know. You know, and now when you see professional athletes, like, I definitely want to be a professional athlete, right. But, you know, no one's going to be making that kind of dough. You know, we don't, whatever. But tell me about, you know, you had safety day, which was a couple of weeks ago, but tell me about the smokehouse. I think that's
a different. The smokehouse we have was donated to us through the Bergen County 200 Club, which supports police, fire, and EMS workers.
I'm a member.
Which is great. It's an excellent organization, yeah. And they donated this. And we utilized this. This particular weekend, we were at Sears, where they had a public safety day, and they asked us to participate, and we bring our smoke trailer. Basically, what it is it's like a small version of a house. But we also have a non-toxic smoke that we use to, like it's like a real fire, mm-hmm. What to do. And we educate the kids. Not too young, you know, more like fourth graders or up. You know, the younger kids get a little bit scared. But we talk about if there is a fire in your house or your apartment, that to get down low, to crawl out. You know, that, you know, check a door before you open it. If it's hot or you smell smoke on the other side of the door, well, don't open that door because you're going to bring the fire or the smoke in on you. Keep the door closed. And obviously, smoke is hot air. It's going to rise. So if you get down low to the ground and crawl, your chances of surviving a fire is much better. Also, to make an emergency exit plan with your family. You know, my family knows exactly what to do in case there is a fire. We have all our alarms, so we know exactly what to do. And we know when we get outside of the house, we go to our meeting place. Ours in our home is our mailbox in front of our house.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we get out of the fire, we don't go back in. You know, we tell the kids when we go around to the schools, don't go back in for your favorite video game or your favorite pair of jeans. You know, it's important to get out and stay up because all that other stuff is replaceable.
Exactly.
You're not replaceable.
Right. I always say that's like, it's just things. Let's go to commercial break. You do have a question coming up. DRHradio.net is the website. Pay bills and be right back with Lieutenant Day. Steve.
He
If you missed part of today's program or you want to hear the show again, you can do so with the Disaster Recovery Hour podcast. Just go to www.drhradio.net, enter your email address, and the show will be delivered to your inbox. Keep you and your family safe by getting information on being prepared with the Disaster Recovery Hour podcast, available at drhradio.net. When disaster comes into your life and attacks your property, you need action fast. ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP will find the visible and hidden damage caused by a fire or flood. With quick response and correctly applied damage mitigation protocols, ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP can save you valuable time and money and get you back in the game of life. Anytime disaster strikes, quick, focused action is what can save your property. CPP's professional staff is on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. To reach ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP anytime, visit them on the web at www.cppems.com. That's cppems.com, cppems.com. ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP, servicing the New York metro and tri-state area.
Do you know that there are some emergency shelters that have no emergency backup generators? You can be prepared and have your own emergency generator for your home and business. Hi, I'm Dan O'Brien from Academy Electrical Contractors Incorporated, a full-service electrical contractor servicing the tri-state area since 1981. Our specialty is generators. We give you a complete turnkey installation, service your existing generator, rent you the temporary machine for that planned shutdown or that unexpected power failure. Academy Electrical Contractors can install a generator to protect your family and business from a power grid failure. Power your heating and air conditioning system, keep your refrigerator and freezer running, power your well pump, or power your sump pump. Visit us on the web at academyelectrical.com. That's academyelectrical.com. Or give me a call at 877-SPARKIES. That's 877-772-7597. Academy Electrical Contractors, generating satisfaction 24/7 since 1981.
At least one in four businesses affected by a disaster never reopen. Let me repeat. At least one in four businesses affected by a disaster, whether it's man-made or natural, never reopen. Yet far too many business owners put off their company's disaster.
You have five new messages.
Can you sign it for me, please?
Don't forget those copies for the presentation.
Disaster plan because they let too many day-to-day things get in the way.
Is that 3 p.m. going to be all right with your schedule?
Hey, don't forget that Stan proposes due.
Be in the conference room in 5 minutes, please.
To save your messages, press 1.
Received dispatch, truck 47 en route to 614 North Front Street.
Received. Be advised, truck 47, heavy fire showing from the ninth floor. Second alarm being dispatched at this time.
Disasters are unpredictable, but when you have a plan in place, you can better adapt, recover, and stay in control. So don't wait. Visit ready.gov to make your company's disaster plan. Ready.gov. It's never too late to protect your business until it is. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Ad Council.
And there's the finger from Dave. It's the pointing finger he was giving me to get back on the air. 10 minutes is not enough time to finish up with Lieutenant Steve. But Steve, we're going to give her a shot to talk about a couple things. We've got a question which talks about many things from here. From Dave, it's a web question. Says, does the fire department have any resource materials available for helping people plan home evacuation routes in the event of a fire? Now, Hackensack's got everything. Like I said, hospital, high rises, everything. It covers the full gamut.
Yes, we have any information, any of our residents in Hackensack that want to come to Hackensack Fire Headquarters at 205 State Street in Hackensack. We have much information on that. We can give them pamphlets and diagrams on where you should put your smoke detectors, your carbon monoxide detectors, and are also talking about an exit plan. We have all those resources, all those information we can provide for our residents.
The volunteer departments, which is, we have 70 towns in our county. So, and there's what, there's four professional ones, but there's a lot, the makeup of the county is volunteer. They have this information.
Yes, absolutely. Every fire department is doing an ongoing thing. This is Fire Prevention Week nationally. So all fire departments are going around to the schools and you know, trying to educate the children. I know here in Hackensack, we go to all four of our grammar schools and our public education department. We address probably 2,500 parents, teachers, and students.
But you need, you know, the world that we live in with terror and bags left on subways and bags left in malls. I mean, we have a mall here in Hackensack. Well, Bergen County is just incredible. You know, you talk about a gazillion people in a little area. And so it could be overwhelming with a different makeup of different buildings of malls, hospitals, multi-dwelling buildings. Having actually, you know, you are designated job now as your PIO, as a public information officer, because there's a lot of information to get out there.
There is a lot of information, but there's some basic stuff that our fire department, the Hackensack Fire Department, likes to get out. And obviously the most important things is making sure you have a working smoke detector. Okay, make sure you change your batteries that are working. Put in a carbon monoxide detector. Okay, so far as some of the other businesses and different residences we have in the city, we also speak to condo associations also about what they should do. Some of the high-rise buildings in Hackensack are in excess of 20 stories. So there's different escape routes that they're going to utilize than a single-family residence. Obviously, we advise anybody if there is a fire and you see signs posted everywhere, don't use an elevator for a couple of different reasons. One, fire department operations are going to be utilizing that, but you may have a power outage during a fire and you don't want to be trapped in a stuck elevator during a fire.
With the government advising us to be on the lookout for suspicious packages and stuff like that, but it also it goes down to the fire departments and the police departments of citizens, Joe Citizen, Mary Citizen, however you want to classify it. I always say that, but to help out, the evacuation route is huge for them because you'd rather put out burning couches and or burning structures and opposed to coming across a person who's expired because of the situation. So helping themselves help you guys.
Yeah, I mean, what was particular here was the hurricane that just recently hit. Hackensack has the Hackensack River that goes through our city. It is a tidal river, so that means it's coming up and down. We had a hurricane that hit us. We also had a high water table. It was the rainiest August in the history of.
Right.
So, I mean, there was going to be situations that are going to be happening already. Some of our streets, certainly, are next to the Hackensack River. You're going to experience some flooding there. We advise our residents, if you are living in those particular areas, please don't get in a car. And if you know that there may be possible flooding, it may be a good time to go visit someone or getting a hotel for a night or asking, for housing. I know we in Hackensack, we utilized the Office of Emergency Management for that situation, and we did remove, I'm going to say, close to 1,000 people to a shelter that was set up by the County Office of Emergency Management.
Yeah, along, as well as just like with the Passaic County with their Passaic River, it's the same scenario. We're surrounded by water, and we're developing. That's political. We're overdeveloping. We're not too much land for water to get absorbed by. You got the OEM, and I know Chief Roush is up at the Bergen County Safety Academy. He's your overall for the county. You guys, but there's lots of cross information. I know the government, when we had our other situation, the fire departments aren't like that. You guys, the intel is all shared.
Yes, it's all our firefighters go through training at the Bergen County Police and Fire Academy, where Chief Roush is in charge of up there, and he does a great job. We also have ongoing training. We have a training chief that we are constantly drilling or training on, just keeping up our skills. And the fire service has changed a lot post 9/11. Part of it is terrorist training. It's an ongoing thing in the fire services to make sure that you know the different skills that may be called upon you. Certainly in Hackensack, we have swift water rescue team because of the Hackensack River, and sometimes in certain areas they tend to flood when that perfect storm of a hurricane and a high water table and a high tide all hit at us. So Hackensack Fire Department utilizes three different boats that we can put into operation to get people either trapped in their home or in a car that's why we tell everybody not to get out on the streets in that kind of situation. People are driving into flooded roadways and they become stuck.
Hackensack, if you don't know it, but you're not from the area, you're listening at the Westchester, Long Island, it's the perfect classroom for every scenario. You got the water, you got the high rise, you got the malls, you got the hospital. I mean, if anything can go, you know, whatever scenario it is, you've been trained for it already.
The city of Hackensack is about 50,000 people, but we swell to about 200,000 people during the daytime. It is the county seat, so we have the courthouse, we have the jails, we have a major hospital, trauma center. So we have malls, we have Interstate 80, Route 4, different highways. So it's a small city. We have a little bit of everything in our city. So, you know, we need to be aware and prepared for any potential emergency in any part of our city.
Mm. We've got a couple of questions. One from Dolores. It's great that you keep drilling this information into people. Well, thanks, Dolores, with the LT in the room with me today. As many times as I hear it, I feel I need a refresher. I am out of school, so I'm thankful for the show. Well, Dolores, I appreciate that. Another question is from Brian. Do you respond to many fires, Lieutenant? Do you respond to many fires when there is no one at home?
That's a classic careless cooking call, to be honest with you. You know, people put on something on the stove, forget about it, and they go off to do something else. So, yes. But having a smoke detector, working, you know, even if you're in a single family home, and your neighbor might hear your smoke alarm going off there. I know some people actually, they have a fire service that looks out. If their alarm is activated, they'll notify the local 911 and we'll respond to that. You can do that also. But it's common that fires occur when people aren't there. Obviously, the ones that we're really concerned about is in the middle of the night, when people are, you know, otherwise sleeping, and if they don't have a working smoke detector in their house, they may sleep to the point where it's a fire is so strong, so large that they may not be able to escape their house or apartment.
I was talking to Steve before the show, and you know what? There's so much content for this program that he will be coming back. Because I like to talk about the different building scenarios. You know, Dave had the question about evacuation routes. I think we can do an entire show on different building. Like you talk about your mailbox is a destination point for when your kids and your family get out of the house for a meeting place. There's 2 minutes to go in the show. I appreciate you stopping by. But there's, and one of the things about the smoke detectors is like, you know what, a lot of people think they live in these 5-story or 10-story buildings, that management is responsible for that. They're really the ones who's responsible for battery. It's a battery.
Yeah, well, most of the high-rises that we have, they have their own alarm system that is hooked up to a dispatch center. So, but we all have our fire inspections being done on all the buildings, you know, all the multi-family units in the city. So we try to keep on top of that. But I know we're getting ready out of town. Just on behalf of the Hackensack Fire Department and Chief Freeman, I want to thank you for giving me the opportunity.
I'm glad I met you, and now I got another friend in my Rolodex that doesn't exist anymore. But Lieutenant Steve, I appreciate you coming in, but you'll be coming back because we had a lot more intel to go. Dave's telling me 45 seconds. One overriding thing is we have a disaster that's still our war. Bring home our troops. God bless our country and be safe. See you soon.